Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Turning point. Jesus, again, I already said this once, but Jesus has perfect alignment with Father God. He's able to hear his heart and know his will perfectly. However, as we see time and time again, throughout Jesus' time on earth, his being here on earth had multiple purposes. Jesus consistently was showing the world that he was one with God. Over and over and over again, he showed us that he was one with God, that him and God were on the same page, on the same wavelength, the same person, and also modeled a way for us to be in relationship with God. Gave us a model to follow. Now, while Jesus was in perfect alignment with God's heart, we are not. Many, many, many oftentimes, we are not in perfect alignment with God's heart. And this turning point that Jesus is facing in this passage of scripture that we're going to read is one that we often face. As followers of Jesus, it's a decision point, a fork in the road where we have to choose what will be controlling us. Either the tension is going to overpower us and take control, or we're going to turn the tension over to the great mechanic and allow his heart and our heart to come into alignment. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 25, says this. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. Oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Here's the recognition that Jesus is making and speaking out in this passage. Up until this point in Jewish history, wisdom was reserved for the most elite, the educationally elite. There's a theologian by the name of N.T. Wright, and he is known for taking like very complex theological ideas and putting them into terms that are easy for us to understand. So if you're ever looking for a good theologian, N.T. Wright, he's the good one. But this is what he says about the situation. Jewish writers had for a millennium or more spoken warmly about the wisdom of the wise. God gave wisdom to those who feared him. A long tradition of Torah study and piety indicated that those who devoted themselves to learning the law and trying to tease out its finer points would become wise and would ultimately know God. For the average Jew, get this, for the average Jew of Jesus' day, this put wisdom about as far out of reach as being a brain surgeon or a test pilot seems for most people today. You need to be a scholar, trained in languages and literature, with leisure to ponder and discuss weighty and complicated matters. Here's what Wright was getting at here, is that the audience that Jesus is speaking to in this moment, for them, they grew up with a rich tradition of those who had the time and the money and the stature to pursue education to its highest level. Those were the only people able to reach wisdom, to attain wisdom. And in two sentences, Jesus completely obliterates that whole idea. He says God made it so that all that it takes to be wise is to be a child. How many of you have been a child before? Yeah. Good. You made it. Gone are the days where wisdom comes solely from being the most educated person in the room. But now God is revealing his true self and his true nature through discipleship. Through being with Jesus, being in his presence, seeing what he's doing and doing the same, people are understanding the heart of God. People are becoming wise through proximity now instead of through being, you know, having high stature or having high education. Now they just need to be by Jesus. So Jesus, in this moment, showing perfect alignment with the Father, also models for us what we can do in these high tension situations, in these tense moments where we feel ourselves being pulled in one direction and the other. What does it look like to be in alignment with God's heart? The first thing that he modeled was to take it to God. That very first sentence in the passage we just read said, at that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. When we feel tension, we are so quick to call it an attack of the enemy and fight the battle all on our own. Well, maybe, you know, the enemy's really coming after me these days. It's just attack after attack after attack. Maybe if I just take my steering wheel and hold it at just the right angle, then I won't feel the tension of my bad alignment, and I won't be pulled in one direction or another. I can fix this. If I just hold my steering wheel just right, I don't need to go to the mechanic, and I can keep going on the straight and narrow. We assume that we need to fight this tension all on our own at all costs instead of just taking the tension to the mechanic. Instead of just taking the tension to the God and getting his heart on the situation on how we should proceed. We're so willing to do anything and everything to fix it ourselves, and God's sitting there going, can I have a say? Can you just bring it to me? Luke, in Luke chapter 10, he tells this same story. And he starts in verse 21, instead of saying, and then Jesus prayed, he starts it this way. At that same time, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to tell the same exact story. When we take things straight to God and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us regarding the matter, it changes things. Jesus, in the middle of this tension, in the middle of the frustration where he's like, what is wrong with you people? He is the most frustrated that we've maybe seen him. And in the middle of that tension, the Bible says he experienced joy. Wow. He rejoiced in the Lord. Joy is a fruit or proof of the Holy Spirit working inside of you. Jesus experiencing joy in that moment was proof that the Holy Spirit was working inside of him. Only the Holy Spirit's presence can produce joy in the midst of tension. That joy comes from alignment with God's heart. Take it to God. First, before you try to fight it, before you try to fix it, before you do anything else, take it to God. This past week, I've been challenged in the area of prayer. I think sometimes we feel like we need to have like these big lofty prayers, and that if we really say the right words and we have these big powerful prayers, then God will hear us. And I was challenged this week to practice short, repetitive prayers consistently. And what I found in practicing short, repetitive prayers consistently is that it aligns my heart with God's better than I've ever experienced before. Can I tell you that this prayer, you, Lord, are my shepherd. That was the whole prayer. You are my shepherd. That is the prayer that I've been praying this week, consistently, repetitively, over and over and over again. I just find myself saying, you are my shepherd. And do you know what that has done to the alignment of my heart? It has put my heart into a posture of, in any situation, my heart is saying, we're following God. He's our shepherd. He's the one that I'm following. He's the one that I'm chasing after. I didn't have to say anything crazy or lofty or big or powerful. All I had to say was, you are my shepherd. And repetition caused my little heart to follow. Take it to God. The second thing we see Jesus do is practice gratitude. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and revealing them to the childlike. Few things can bring alignment to God's heart like gratitude. That word thank that we see there, in the original language, that word thank was a praise, but it was a praise with an acknowledgement undercurrent, an undercurrent of acknowledging. Here's what Jesus was doing. In saying thank you, Jesus was acknowledging that God is who he says he is and knows exactly what he's doing. Because this, what was happening with people, didn't make sense to Jesus in the moment. In the moment, he was like, what are you guys doing? Yeah. How are you missing this? Do you see who I am? Do you see what I'm doing? And as soon as he said, thank you, he was saying, you know what, God, I see you. I see what you're doing. This is the way that you intended it to be from the start. How many times is that tension that you feel inside of you really God saying, hey, you're out of alignment? Wow. We're so quick to say, I'm being attacked. When really that attack might just be God saying, hey, that's not actually my will. That's not actually what I'm trying to do. I know it seems crazy to you, but I got a different plan up my sleeve. Do you trust me? Do you want to come into alignment with my plan? Or do you want to keep yanking on that steering wheel, trying to take control and fix things yourself? There's an alignment that we see here where Jesus just gave the crowd a what for and immediately followed it with saying, okay, God, you are above all. You have everything in your hands. You know exactly what you're doing. Thank you for who you are. Sometimes the best thing we can do for a bad attitude is to sit down and start thanking God.
Wow, come on. That's right.
Sometimes the quickest thing to get us back in alignment is to recognize what God's already done, what his track record is, and what we can trust him for. Start acknowledging who he is. Start acknowledging the place that he has in your life. Start thanking him for all that he's done, all that he's gonna do. It's really hard to stay in this poor me attitude after all of that. Finally, Jesus models for us perfectly how to learn God's will and walk that way. Verse 26 says, yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. The way that didn't make sense to me pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. It pleased you to do it this way. Here, Jesus is modeling how we can learn God's will in a situation and turn over control to him. The only way for your heart to come into alignment is for you to give up control. If you didn't write that down, you probably should have. I'll say it one more time, don't worry. The only way for your heart to come into alignment is for you to give up control. You have to hand the keys over to the mechanic and come to the realization that the mechanic knows better than you do, and only he can restore your heart to the alignment that it needs to be in. Stop trying to play mechanic. Letting go of control of a situation, I am standing here saying it's hard work. It's what God's asking you to do. He never said that he wouldn't ask you to do hard things. There's plenty of people in this room that can say, yeah, that's true. It's a big deal to let go of control. I want to acknowledge that. I want to put it out there. Do you know what's also a big deal? Saying yes to God. That's a big deal too. That's what restores your heart to alignment. Only when you relinquish control can God start to reveal to you his plan and what you should do next. Here's a point that I want to get back to. When Jesus modeled perfect alignment with God's heart, Luke said that he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. If you'll take it to God, if you'll practice gratitude, if you'll learn God's will and walk that way, you can experience the joy that only Holy Spirit can give as well. If you're willing to do those things, just like Jesus was able to experience the joy of the Holy Spirit in that tension, in the midst of that hard fork in the road, you can experience that joy as well. I don't know where you're at this afternoon. You might be in a spot where you've never allowed your heart to be in alignment with God's heart. You've been pulled in every direction for your whole life. Your emotions have been allowed to rule in your life. And it feels like you're just being, like you're tug of war. Like you're just being ripped and pulled in every direction, because anytime that you feel a new emotion, you follow that. And then you feel a new emotion and you follow that. And there's no true north because you're all over the place. Maybe you're in a spot this morning where this is a brand new concept to you. You didn't even know that you could have a life that's in alignment with God's will. That's a really good spot to be in. Maybe you're in this room and you're like, no, Pastor Cherie, honestly, I do chase after God's will. I want, my desire is for my heart to be in alignment with his. I believe that we could be in any one of those three camps, and the answer is still the same. Even to the person who is earnestly chasing after God and wanting their heart to be in alignment with his, I believe that there's some tapping that's going on in the hearts of people today, where God's going, did you ask me about this? What about this situation? Is there anything that you're holding on to where you're like, God, I trust you in everything except this? I'm holding on to this one pretty tight. That might be the one that he's asking for today. If you're in any one of those three spots, you never knew that your heart needed to be in alignment with God, but you want it to be now. Emotions have been dragging you in every which way, and you don't even know which way is forward anymore. Or maybe there's just an area that you've been hanging on to a little bit tight. Will you stand with me? We're going to pray a prayer because, like I said, the answer is the same. No matter which camp you're in, the answer is the same. You need to take it to God. You need to practice gratitude. You need to learn God's will, and you need to walk that way.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.